You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 10th of June 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, the culture war continues with the destruction and removal of more monuments, more reminders of European history in Europe. And besides the destruction of the monuments, we've now got television programmes being removed and films being removed. We're here today, Gone with the Wind has been removed from Netflix, I believe. I'm not quite up on these mainstream television channels anymore. But Gone with the Wind has been removed because it shows happy slaves in it that are still friends with their previous owners, which I would argue is actually pretty truthful if you read reports from the time. There's a book in particular that I did a series of narrations from called The Truth About Lynching in the South, which was written shortly after slavery was abolished. And it gives lists in there of the amount of farms and wealth that was handed over to these slaves by their previous owners, because the previous owners hoped that the slaves would still be able to look after themselves, and they did all that they could to help them and to provide them with a living and an income, because in a lot of these cases, they saw the slaves as an extension of their family, which we still see happening today with the upper class who still have servants. If you look at Jacob Rees-Mogg and his nanny, he sees the nanny as an extension of his own family, and they have the same nanny for their children that Jacob Rees-Mogg had when he was a child. And this is the common way of dealing with servants today, and that was the common way of dealing with slaves 150 years ago, 200 years ago. We were no different back then to how we are today. And if you look at the way we are today, we've got our great and good getting down on their knees for blacks. And we were the same back then. We were bending over backwards to look after these people and set them a good example. And that's why we're the only people in the entire history of the world who ever got rid of slavery anyway. But as well as Gone with the Wind being removed, Little Britain has now been removed. And that was only made about 15 or 20 years ago. It tells you just how fast the culture war is moving, just how fast the destruction of the British sense of humour is happening, and the censorship of everything that it means to be British. It's the censorship of our identity, the things that we find funny, the things that we create. They're all hated by these non-whites, and we're told this is a strength. And I really want to concentrate today on Sadiq Khan in particular and what he has been doing and how this really shows us what is in store for the rest of the country when it becomes majority non-white. London is, of course, 60% non-white, and Sadiq Khan is a Pakistani, and he is now the mayor of London. Perhaps he was born over here in Britain, but his ethnic heritage is still from Pakistan, and the whole of Pakistan were celebrating when he became mayor of London. Since he's been the mayor of London, rape is up by 18%, theft is up by 34%, homicide is up by 27%, burglary is up by 19%, gun crime up by 16%, knife crime up by 31%, and youth homicide up by 70%. a massive figure there at the end, 70%, the number of youngsters that have been killed in London since he took over. And if you look back to the turn of last century, you'll see that the number of people that were killed in London doesn't even get into double figures. Knife crime was practically non-existent, and knives have existed for centuries, obviously. Harkening back to the times of the Cultural Revolution in Maoist China, Sadiq Khan has announced a review of all landmarks in the British capital to determine whether they conform with the city's values and diversity, suggesting that the supposedly racist monuments should be replaced with tributes to LGBTQ+ and racial minority figures. So what is this? What is the city's values? The city of London was built thousands of years ago. More than 2,000 years ago, that city was built. It was built by the Trinovantes, a white European tribe. And at the beginning of last century, there was a book written called The Races of Britain. And that showed that the people that were living there were essentially the same as the people who had built the city. Are they the people whose values now suggest that we should be tearing down our statues? No, they're not. 65% of London has had to flee from London. 65% of London has been genocided, effectively. A genocide is when you bring in another group of people to replace the group of people that are there. It doesn't actually have to involve the death of people. It can just be the removal of people. And they have removed the Londoners from London and replaced them with foreigners who hate us. And this is the proof that they hate us, the fact that they cannot stand to be reminded of us. And Sadiq Khan has only been in office for one term, and already he is seeking to tear down everything around him that reminds him of us. He wants to remake the city in his own image and in the image of the foreigners that he loves so much. He says, our capital's diversity is our greatest strength. And I will just stop right there. How much terrorism has there been in London that has been brought about by the diversity in London? There would be no terrorism in London if there wasn't a particular group that's there that Sadiq Khan is a member of. And that's just one instance of how diversity is not a strength. It's the greatest weakness that we have. It's even spoken about in the Bible, where Jesus Christ himself said that a house divided against itself will not stand. And they talk about diversity as if it unifies people. It can't unify people because it's diversity, because it's division. That's what the word is based upon. He says, our capital's diversity is our greatest strength, yet our statues, road names, and public spaces reflect a bygone era. Well, of course they do. They reflect our history. They reflect British history. They are a part of our heritage. Obviously, they're not a part of Khan's heritage. His heritage is in Pakistan. Why on earth would he expect to come to Britain and see himself reflected in our capital city? It should be the British history that is reflected in our capital city, not what Khan wants to see there. He says, it is an uncomfortable truth that our nation and city owes a large part of its wealth to its role in the slave trade. And while this is reflected in our public realm, the contribution of many of our communities to life in our capital has been willfully ignored, Khan said. Well, the communities that he's talking about can only have been in London for a maximum of about 50 or 60 years. And yet the people that he is saying that are there because of their wealth and their role in the slave trade, they're the people that have been there for thousands of years. They're people that built the city. The people that have been there over the last 60 years, how have they contributed to the city? They've worked to earn money to send back to their families back in the countries that they come from, whereas the people whose statues he wishes to pull down were responsible for massive endowments that helped to build places like Bristol and London and make them what they are today. the LGBTQ plus community has only been in existence for the last 10 years, 20 years. And he wants to replace the people that actually built the city with the people that are destroying the city. The London mayor said that the city he represents is one of the most diverse in the world, and therefore has tasked the Commission for Diversity in the Public Realm to review the status of all landmarks, including statues, memorials, street art, street names, and public murals. So he's set up a public commission to look into tearing down everything that he doesn't like, tearing down everything that foreigners don't like about the British. And we're supposed to just stand here and take this. In an interview on Sky News, Khan added, "What the commission will do is look at diversity in the public realm in relation to, for the lack of black people, on statues or the streets' names, after our LGBTQ plus community, women, those who are disabled, and try to have a city that better reflects London and the values we have." And of course, that doesn't really make a lot of sense, because when Khan talks, he has difficulty forming coherent sentences. And he says here that they're going to look at the lack of black people on statues or streets' names. There weren't any black people in London more than about 60 or 70 years ago. The only black people that there were in London or in Liverpool or in any of the other port cities were transient blacks that worked on the ships, on the trading ships, and they would travel around the world and they would stay in the port, and they made up an absolutely tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of the people that lived in those cities. And they certainly never saw themselves as Londoners or saw themselves as British. They saw themselves as Arabs or Indians or as blacks. Why would you expect to see black people on statues or street names? This isn't Africa, is it? Why would you expect to see women on there who, right up until the time of the suffragettes, were content to produce children? An incredibly important role that they played, being a mother. A mother is a teacher and a nurturer. It's one of the most important roles that we have. That is now ridiculed by childless feminists. He wants to see disabled people? When have disabled people done great things for our capital city? And the fact that he says our here and our values, I mean, this is just showing us how the foreigners are now taking over. Now that they have enough numbers of them in London, they're going to completely change it and make it in their own image, basically destroy what we have built. And our government are going to go along with it. They're going to go along with it. They've already bent the knee to the people that are encouraging this. The mayor's office is also reportedly considering renaming the Tate Art Museums and Guy's Hospital in London, whose founders had ties to the slave trade. Khan noted, however, that the commission will consider whether such a move would serve to cleanse the reputation of such institutions. Well, they will have a problem cleansing the reputation of the Tate Art Museum, considering the degeneracy of the modern art that's in there. And they talk about these ties to the slave trade. Britain never traded in slaves. Britain bought slaves. Britain bought slaves from African tribal chiefs who sold them. Why did they sell slaves? Because that's the only thing Africa had ever produced of value. African chiefs wanted to buy what we had. They wanted to trade with us. They wanted the textiles that we had. They wanted the tobacco. They wanted the gin. They wanted the cotton. And what did they have to exchange for the goods that we had? They had nothing but ivory and slaves. They had human resources, which they sold or exchanged for the goods that we had. And we then transported those human resources to America, where they worked on farms for their keep. What is so bad about that? What is so bad about having to work for your keep? That's all these people did. They were taken to America and they were looked after. They were fed, they were clothed, they were housed, they were given medical care. When they were too old to work, they were still clothed and housed and given medical care because that was the law. It was very little different to the working relationship that people have now. It was just that was the way that employment worked back then. And that is what the entire economy of Africa was based upon. The last country in Africa to make slavery illegal was Mauritius. As I say, in about 2005, 2006, something like that. It was the British people that put a stop to slavery. And instead of thanking the British people for that, Khan hates us. He wants to tear down everything that reminds him of us in our capital city. Emboldened by the zero resistance police response to the destruction of a statue on Sunday, a hard left campaign group with a history of high profile activism has published a list of dozens of other public memorials targeted for removal. So because they've been allowed to get away with that removal of Edward Carlston, because the police didn't stop them, because they were told by the mayor that they had done a good thing, now we've got people publishing lists of public memorials that they want to be destroyed. Published by the Stop Trump Coalition, and by their own reckoning, a project in support of the Black Lives Matter movement and the topplers of Edward Colston, the Topple the Racists list names dozens of statues and other memorials to figures from British and world history that have been judged unworthy by 21st century standards. So they're insulting all these great people from our past. They're calling them all racists and saying that they all have to be destroyed. These people are enemies of Britain. And yet our government is doing nothing about it. It's bending the knee to these people. Among the list are several perennial hate figures for the left, including famed explorer and mariner Christopher Columbus, an Elizabethan privateer, Sir Francis Drake. Oliver Cromwell, on the other hand, is often cited as a hero to the British left because his victory in the English Civil War saw the ruling monarch beheaded and his rule replaced by a radical republic. Nevertheless, several Cromwell statues are named. And I'm not for Cromwell. I'm very much against Oliver Cromwell, but I am far more against the idea of removing statues to him, because they show to remind us of our past, and they show that at one time we thought very highly of Oliver Cromwell, and we have to understand that. The destruction of cultural artifacts like this is no different to what ISIS were doing out in Syria. It's no different to what's been going on in the South, in America, where they've been tearing down the monuments to the heroes of the South and the heroes of the American Civil War. And now they're going to try and tear down the heroes of the English Civil War here. It's all about hatred of us. And what are they going to do once they've pulled down the statues? They're going to move onto the real people. They're going to move onto the descendants of those people whose statues they pulled down. A monument to the Earl Grey is one listed, despite Grey having been a major reformer in his time, who, among other liberalising achievements, abolished slavery in the British Empire in 1833. So the man that helped to abolish slavery is one of the men that they want to lynch and destroy. His statue is cited for removal because of the method the British government used to end the practice, which was effectively buying all of the slaves from their owners across the empire and then setting them free. Well, how else were they going to do this? These owners had paid. It's the equivalent of somebody today taking out a contract and paying out thousands of pounds for a contract for people to do a certain amount of work for them, and then the government saying, well, no, you can't have these people doing that work now. Well, what about all the money? Of course it needs to be paid back. And they're angry here because it means that these slaves were paid for once again. Where is the anger at the African chiefs for selling them in the first place? Nobody ever mentions that. They all seem to assume that white people just went hunting Negroes in Africa. That isn't what happened. The African chiefs sold the Africans because that was the system that they had. Some people would sell themselves into slavery. Others would be enslaved through war. and they were effectively liberated from a life that was at risk of famine, at risk of being eaten, at risk of being attacked, very, very badly treated by other Africans. And they were liberated from all that. They were brought to America, where they were looked after by white men who looked on them as almost as if they were their own children. That's the truth of it. That really is the truth of it. And to find that out, all you have to do is go back and look at the literature of the time and think about it logically. Think about it logically. Would white people really be mistreating their employees like this that they had paid a lot of money for? I don't think they would. I don't think they would. After Britain banned slavery, the Royal Navy was tasked with stamping out the practice across the Atlantic. Its West Africa squadron engaged in decades of pursuits of slaver ships. The cost of buying the freedom of the slaves was the equivalent to over a third of the entire expenditure of the British government that year, and was so expensive it took the government nearly two centuries to pay back a loan taken out to finance the law. Think about that. That's the white man for you. He will take out a loan that it will take two centuries to pay back to free this small amount of black slaves. Small amount when you think of the number that were enslaved by the Arabs, the number of white people that were enslaved by the Arabs, and the number of people that have been slaves over thousands of years, because that was the employment system that we effectively had. Why it suddenly seems different just because it's black people that were slaves, I don't know. There were laws about not mistreating slaves, as I say. And to think of the amount of money that's been spent on this, to think blacks are now calling for reparations. They've already been paid for twice. They were bought from the African chiefs. Then the government bought them once again to give them manumission. And now their descendants are calling for reparations? How can they claim that this is something that they should be paid for now anyway, when this happened hundreds of years ago? And claim they are still suffering from the intergenerational indignity of it? Well, all working class white people have ancestors that were slaves, and we're not demanding that we have reparations. Nobody that's done more for black people than whites. Just look over the last century in Africa. Just look at the number of them that there are now. How they've been facilitated to breed to the extent that they are now. We've got some parts of Africa where 60% of the country is under the age of 30. And they've got no means of actually providing for themselves. They still have to have food aid. We still have adverts on the television asking us to pay for their water because they can't provide their own clean water for themselves. And yet they've managed to produce all these children that they don't know how they're going to pay for. And then they try to get into Europe because they think they will get all their needs covered for them in Europe. And we allow them in. And yet here they are trying to wipe out the memory of our philanthropists that did these good things for them. It's like that phrase, a good deed never goes unpunished, does it? Well, that's certainly true. If you are doing good deeds for other races, that means that your altruism and charity is going on our racial competitors, and it should be going on our own people. Other figures highlighted include several statues of Sir Robert Peel, another Victorian reformer who founded the modern British police force, and Victoria Cross Medal recipient General Sir Redvers Buller. So they want to get rid of, they don't just want to get rid of the police, they want to get rid of the guy who set up the police. The British police was a wonderful idea. There's a very, very good talk that we had on Radio Albion a while back, talking about how the police force was actually begun, and it was begun with members of the public, and they had a whistle, because they had a certain number of police that wherever you were in London, if you heard, you would be able to hear a whistle if something was going on. And the reason why you needed to hear the whistle was so that the general public could join in and help the police officer with apprehending the criminal. You imagine that. I mean, today, when police are trying to apprehend a criminal, everybody around is cheering on the criminal. back then, the public were expected to help the police officer to apprehend the criminal, because criminality was such an unheard of thing amongst the homogenous white community that we had. Now we have diversity, now we have multiculturalism, we have this massive crime rate that I was alluding to at the beginning of this. Cecil Rhodes, who was a key figure in expanding the British Empire's territories from Cape to Cairo, and whose fortune to this day continues to fund the university education for diverse peoples from around the globe, is a key and long-standing target, with protesters numbering in the hundreds turning out on Tuesday to revive the Rhodes Must Fall campaign. And I have to take my hat off to Peter Hitchens for going there and refusing to get down on his knees for the black idols. Academic institutions in particular are already moving rapidly to appease the activists. Well, I wouldn't call them activists, I would call them black supremacists, Marxists, neo-Bolsheviks. They're not activists, they're anarchists, as Nigel Farage has pointed out. The Imperial College London dropped a Latin reference to empire from its motto, and the University of Liverpool dropped the name of the famed Victorian Prime Minister William Gladstone from one of its halls of residence, among other acts of self-flagellation. You see, they're going after, not just going after people that had something to do with the traders, but the prime ministers. As I pointed out yesterday, that East Africa organisation was begun by Charles II. They will be going after every reference they can find to our monarchy, eventually. Within hours of the Topple Racists website going live, the first of the statues on the left-wing hit list fell, as a 200-year-old memorial to Robert Milligan in East London was lifted off its podium by a tractor on orders of local government. So this isn't just by the mob, this is now being carried out by local councils that are in the hands of non-whites. Milligan, who was born into a family which owned a sugar plantation in the Caribbean, was a key figure in turning the docks into an important commercial hub, and his memorial described him as a merchant of London to whose genius, perseverance and guardian care the surrounding great work principally owes its design, accomplishment and regulation. So he's one of the people that made London what it is today. It made London into the attractive place, the attractive wealthy place that Khan was attracted to, or his family was attracted to, in the first place, because he wanted that wealth. And now he's got that wealth, he wants to destroy all reminders of the people that actually created that wealth. He wants to appropriate that wealth, that history, and our identity for himself, alongside the rest of the foreigners that have come to this country. Consequently, Tower Hamlets Council facilitated the memorial's rapid removal on Tuesday, perhaps hoping to preempt its lawless destruction by Black Lives Matter supporters, as was the fate of a statue commemorating the late parliamentarian and philanthropist Edward Colston in Bristol at the weekend. And of course, Tower Hamlets has been mired in accusations of corruption ever since that fell into the hands of non-whites. So, of course, they support Sadiq Khan in destroying our heritage. While it's a sad truth that much of our city and nation's wealth was derived from the slave trade, this does not have to be celebrated in our public spaces, commented London's left-wing mayor, Sadiq Khan. Well, London's wealth was produced by hard work. It was hard work that produced that wealth. And how dare him say that that came from black people working in America? The sale of black people working in America. Where does he think the wealth came from to buy the black people to take to America in the first place? It's not like these people were kidnapped. They were paid for. They were paid for fair and square. They were bought from the African chiefs for expensive goods. That's the way the world works. You trade something of value for something that somebody else has that is of value. And the only thing that Africa had of value was ivory and human resources. And this is one of the reasons why Africa is so poor now, is because they don't have much that they can trade. They rely on importing second-hand t-shirts and selling them, as E. Michael Jones points out. A memorial to Queen Victoria in a West Yorkshire park has been defaced with the words racist and slave owner. The monument in Woodhouse Moor, Hyde Park, Leeds, has also been spray painted with the words educate, colonise, justice and black lives matter. See, they're going after our royalty now. The memorial, designed by Victorian sculptor George Frampton, features a large stone plinth with a sculpture of the monarch on top. Queen Victoria became the monarch in 1837, 4 years after Parliament had passed the Slavery Abolition Act. So this isn't about getting rid of monuments because of their links to slavery. This is getting rid of white people, getting rid of all representations of white people, because these people that are here hate us. They tell us this. They tell us how much they hate these monuments. They hate being reminded of them. And how, if they don't like being reminded of this by a stone representation of us, how much more must they hate being reminded of it by the physical representation of us, the real human us? And it's a fantasy to think that once they become the majority and we become the minority, that we will be treated in the same exalted way that we treat those minorities. Queen Victoria's reign, which lasted until 1901, saw a huge expansion of the British Empire. So years after slavery had been abolished, and it was during her reign that we spent untold amounts of money on stopping the slave trade, on stopping the Africans from trying to sell other Africans, and stopping the Arabian slave trade. And yet it's her statue that they deface. The Queen Victoria statue in Leeds has also been spray painted with the words educate, colonise, justice and black lives matter. So two statues of Queen Victoria have been desecrated. Leeds City Council say they support freedom of speech, but that the graffiti will be removed. Compare that to what the City Council say when they find a sticker that says it's okay to be white. When have you ever heard them support freedom of speech when it's been anything positive people have to say about white people? They will only support freedom of speech when it's being used to desecrate white heritage. The statue was first erected outside Leeds Town Hall in 1905 and was later moved to another site in the city. These people won't be happy until they have eliminated us entirely. It starts with the monuments. It starts with the representations of us. And it ends with wholesale massacres of us. And the place will look like South Africa. South Africa is exactly where all multicultural countries are headed if we don't separate ourselves from them. That's the way to deal with this. We have to separate. Stop the hate and separate. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.